I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. You know, I had a different theme for this show for years.
Yes, I'm going.
And then my friend and my boss, Todd Manley, found this. Crank this up, Joe.
Yes, I'm going.
And there's something just perfectly weird about it. So for those of you who like this, I don't know what it means. I'm not sure of the lyrics.
Songs without genres are usually really, really good.
It's good. It's good. Yeah, it can't fit any category, really, can it? It's funk country. No, I don't know what it is.
I love blues.
Anyway, Todd, thank you for the theme. At 6:11. Oh, boy. Northwestern loses. Blows a small lead late. Hawks lose. Hawks thinking about going with a five-goalie set right now. Five goalies at one time. Just gating a center and five goalies. It's not good. It's 7-3, the final there. Mark Carmen's in for Dave Ennett. Or 7-2, I should say. Yeah. Mark Carmen's in for Dave Ennett. Dave Ennett will be back from New York, on Monday?
I believe so, yes. I think he's still sitting courtside.
Is he courtside?
I think he's
pouting. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a weird winter, kids. Remember the Bulls are like 0-10, then they won 10 in a row, and then I don't know. There's a lot I just can't make the heads or tails of.
The Wildcats are it's a disappointment, but those guys took them to the tournament for the first time ever last year, won a game.
So that's why it's a disappointment this year.
Huge. Huge.
So they'll be back. The Hawks will be back, but I don't really want to rush summer, but we would like to forget the winter of 17-18.
Mm. Yes.
At 6:12, of course, there's Trump news. Elise Glink will talk some money later. You know what's coming in today is Kevin Matthews.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Kevhead. The original Kevhead. The Kevhead.
Mm-hmm.
I am a huge Kevhead fan.
Have you ever met him?
I have not, and I used to
come
listen
down
to him every day. I'm going to
come
down.
Outside.
Jimmy Schwartz.
That's him. Kevin Matthews, Hawks tickets later because there's still nothing but fun to go watch.
Yes.
And you may be asked to play goalie at some point. Maybe to pick a goalie out of the stands.
Like the Bozo Buckets game, remember?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Come participate.
For like 3 minutes in the second period, that's what I heard was the original proposal, Steve.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Just come in for three?
Three, see how you do. Maybe
it's
get another
the original
shot.
Fans for three promotion. And we got a big Sox thing going on later where the White Sox station, as you know, at least I hope you know. And Brooks Boyer, one of the big shots from the White Sox, is coming in, and there's going to be a White Sox mascot race in Pioneer Court. These are the giant White Sox foam things.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is that we can compete, Steve, and I would like to compete, so just want to put that out
and aren't
there.
You doing
I
would it?
Let him do it. Well, if Mark wants to do it. Oh, you mean I have to run against Mark?
No, I think both of you guys are going, aren't you?
Are we doing it?
Oh, I didn't know this was a thing. Great.
All right, we'll do it.
Did you wear your gym shoes?
The White Sox mascot, Southpaw,
yeah,
is going to be there. I don't know if you guys wear the foam stuff, though. I think you just race them in your own clothes.
Yeah, I volunteered to wear the foam, and apparently there's a legal thing where we can't be in the foam. So
you know what, though? That might be a good thing, though, Steve,
probably.
Because
we probably would have killed ourselves.
I wonder if they've been washed.
Illegal foam?
It's hard to wash foam.
No, it's not illegal foam. It's the thing is, if you're on Pioneer Court, which is next to Michigan Avenue, and you put on the mascot costume and you're not used to running in it, you'll run into traffic.
Oh, okay.
Or fall into the river.
Or yes. Into the planters.
Right. So that's later on. And Rick Hahn, the general manager of the White Sox, will be on later as well as we come up on about 28 days from opening day?
28 days.
Yes. Okay.
So that's all good. All right, at 6:14, we'll catch up with the top six at six in just a moment. But here's what I want to do. I want to try to run the ship on time today.
Oh, yeah.
Let's start right now with a preview of what's coming up at 6:30.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
The Top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
Before we get to the daily stress of Washington and the White House, let me go to the story that really has the globe upset. KFC apparently has figured out their chicken problem in the UK, but now they're short on gravy. Let me go live to Steve Grzanich in just north of London.
Good morning from London. It's snowing here, by the way.
Steve, what do we know about the gravy shortage?
There is no gravy at KFC anywhere in the UK. Maybe by later today.
Can I just ask you a question, though?
Sure.
Can't you just, oh, I don't know, make some?
No. See this? See,
I mean, if you don't have chickens, that's the chicken issue, right? You got to find more chickens to have chicken, and you got to process the chickens. If you don't have gravy, get all the grandmothers in London and Great Britain together and just have them make gravy.
Oh, my gosh, send Dean's mom over.
Yes.
But all of the gravy comes from Kentucky, Steve, and so it is made by elves in Kentucky.
That I didn't know. Gravy elves. Yes. Gravy elves.
And you can't have KFC without the gravy.
No,
you just can't.
I thought Reba. Really? I thought Reba made the gravy.
The mashed potatoes.
Oh, yes, that's true.
The gravy.
Yeah.
Have to have the gravy.
And have you had the one with the mashed potatoes, corn, and gravy?
All right, now you're out.
It's one of the gravy
bowls. Look, I know you've been in London for a while, but stop it.
All right, live from London, I'm Steve Grzanich.
All right, item number two. Police recalled a Tory Spellings. You see how I'm avoiding Washington? Police recalled a Tory Spellings home over a reported nervous breakdown after receiving a call from someone reporting the actress was having some kind of breakdown Thursday morning. According to TMZ, police were seen leaving the residence after a brief chat with her husband, Dean McDermott. So far, no sign of Spelling herself, the 44-year-old. Is she still a star? Former star?
She keeps having
B-lister.
Kids.
B or C-list star, I would say, maybe.
Didn't she just have like her fifth kid?
Is that right? I don't even know.
Oh, yeah. She just had another baby.
She was reported to be getting aggressive, that's a quote, and seemed to be having what appeared to be a nervous breakdown. Well, the outlet notes she didn't appear to have any weapons. There was clearly an incident that led to the police being called in the first place. It's just a scary, sad deal. We hope everybody's okay.
This did happen on an episode of 90210, and it ended when she got into a fight with Brenda.
Yeah.
I don't.
God, I used to love that show.
Quack. Well, you can't avoid it any longer, Steve. You've already worked out the Tory Spelling and UK story. So let's go to Washington. Jared Kushner got a $500 million loan or $500 million in loans and then set up White House meetings for the people that gave him the loans. Yeah, you can't do that.
No.
Is that illegal?
Yeah, you can't do that.
Come on. Even if, honestly, Steve, even as a businessman, I know he's going to say, oh, or his defense might be he's a White House outsider. He didn't know. Come on. This is business.
Well, what do we know? Stupid is not a defense.
True.
Yeah. Yeah. And White House senior advisor Jared Kushner's family real estate group, $1.6 billion in debt because of a building he bought in New York. Maybe appropriately, the 666 building. The New York Times reporting, according to the Times, Kushner met with a Joshua Harris, one of the founders of Apollo Global Management, on multiple occasions while advising the Trump administration on infrastructure policy. The topic of a job in the White House was brought up, though never materialized. And then in November of 2017, Apollo's real estate group lent Kushner Companies $184 million as part of a package to refinance the mortgage of a Chicago skyscraper. What do they own here? I don't even know.
Well, they own the Trump Tower, but there's...
No, I mean the Kushner Company.
There were possible talks about building the Spire, which was supposed to be one of the tallest buildings.
That was a Kushner building?
Possibly.
Size of the loan, according to the Times, was triple the size of the average property loan and created meetings between, if not Trump, people in Trump's circle and in the White House, therefore a pay-for-play sort of situation. A short time after, another group lent Kushner Companies $325 million for some of its Brooklyn properties, and again, exchange for high-level meetings and potential favors to be done. Again, you can't do that. Which leads to breaking news this morning. Multiple media outlets are reporting that Donald Trump, president of these United States, has reportedly begun directing his rage at his daughter and son-in-law amid their continuing White House chaos, and has been privately working with John Kelly on a way for John Kelly, the chief of staff, to kick Jared and Ivanka out. Mm. He wants Kelly to be the bad guy, and he wants him to send them home. Because you can't just do a you can't do a one resigns. You sort of have to do a both resign. What are you going to do? Have Jared go back to New York and then Ivanka stays in D.C. or Ivanka goes to New York, Jared stays? No.
Pass the gravy?
And the problem is, because he gets the daily presidential briefing, the PDB, that is in control of Donald Trump when he's having it read to him, he can show it to Ivanka and Jared even though they don't have security clearances.
Yeah.
Right.
And I can't see Kelly being the, what do you call it? Not the fall guy, but the guy who does your roughing up, you know, your dirty work.
Yeah, it's probably, that's chief of staff's job.
Oh,
chief of staff's job is to be the bad
Kelly,
guy.
Kelly, wow.
Yeah, this is not something that would be a lot of fun. But Kelly, I think in some way, John Kelly we're talking about here, not Megyn Kelly.
Right.
John Kelly would be a guy that might look forward to throwing Jared out of the White House.
Mm-hmm. No kidding. Can I make one quick correction? I misspoke. It's the 30-story office building at 225 West Randolph that they were trying to refinance, and that's for which he allegedly got the money, or would have gotten the money.
Where is it now?
225 West Randolph.
225 West Randolph. It's 30 stories?
Yes.
And it's $184 million?
Yes.
It seems like a lot of money.
$184 million refinancing it would have been.
Okay, so we don't know if that's the full mortgage even.
Correct.
It's got to be.
It looks like a new building. I just pulled up a picture of it. It looks like a newer building.
Nice-looking building.
Yeah. I guess 30 stories in downtown Chicago might cost you $184 million, huh?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
West of City Hall.
Maybe swoop in there, Steve.
Didn't the people buy this building for $280 million?
That's a good question.
There's Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue.
They got a deal.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of plumbing to fix.
Yeah.
Quack. I mentioned Megyn Kelly. She is interviewing Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin is denying a new Cold War. However, in true Dr. Evil fashion, he showed up on Russian television and made a big speech to his own Politburo and all the Boris and Natashas of his inner circle yesterday, and then showed an animated video. That video showed a nuclear device, which he said is impermeable to anybody trying to shoot it out of the sky, anybody being us. Mentioned the West, continuing to mention the West, is clueless as to what Russia can do. And basically summed it up by, if you're not taking me serious before, you'll take me serious now. Showed the animation where rockets split off in midair and nuclear warheads were headed for Florida.
Mm-hmm.
This is not exactly John F. Kennedy and the Cuban Missile Crisis. This is not exactly Ronald Reagan standing up to Mikhail Gorbachev. This is Donald Trump. And yesterday, when Vladimir Putin threw that threat out, Donald Trump followed it this morning with a tweet about how bad Alec Baldwin is at doing his impression of him on Saturday Night Live and how Daryl Hammond should be brought back. Oh, and by the way, not a word about Russia. Quack. I think we all need a cleansing breath.
Yeah. Breathe in. Breathe out.
You say you want to talk about his meeting with the NRA?
Not in the least.
Okay, I know.
Trump's still threatening to impose steel tariffs, called by most who understand that the dumbest idea ever to come out of the White House. This would be a 25% tariff on steel imports, 10% on aluminum. And another tweet said trade wars are good and they're easy to win.
No, they're not.
Neither. They're not good and they're not easy to win because nobody wins in a trade war. And two armed guards began patrolling State Street yesterday with retail employees along the street thrilled. Some retailers along State Street have offered anecdotal evidence that these guards were needed. Let's go live to Andrea, just back from State Street.
Yes, Steve. What you will see an increased police presence as well on State Street throughout the loop. They had the mounted patrol along Michigan Avenue yesterday.
Well, what's going on?
There's just been an increase in robberies, retail thefts, smash and grabs, criminals getting off the L, stealing people's purses and wallets and cell phones, and then hopping back on the L because it's such a crowded area down there. So in addition to increased police patrols, they have several armed guards hired by the merchants down there. They're private security guards who are patrolling, very visible out there, wearing yellow and black jackets. So you will see them out there as well. Make people feel safe as
life
the weather gets warmer.
Life was so much simpler when KFC had chicken.
Yeah. Live from State Street.
You are?
I'm Andrea for your show.
And we're back with the headlines next.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I could never pretend that I don't love you. You could never pretend that I'm your man. That's exactly the way that I want it. It's exactly the way that I am. And you call me in the morning with your troubles.
Who are these guys? The Toad Flippers? What's the name of this band? The Frog Jumpers?
Yeah, Trampled by Turtles.
Trampled by Turtles, that was it. Our friend Paul Conrad from Channel 9 would be great in this band based on the beard that he has now.
Lumberjack.
Speaking of beards, random thoughts by Steve. I watched one of the, our next guest needs no introduction, David Letterman specials on Netflix. He's got a short series of six. And he was interviewing Clooney. Very entertaining. But the beard is troubling. I'm talking about the Letterman beard. And by the way, that's where Paul Schaefer lives now. Paul Schaefer lives in Dave's beard.
Kind of looks like a Santa Claus beard, doesn't it?
It looks a little more crazy to me.
Ah.
Yeah, like Drifter.
Yeah.
Like ne'er-do-well, like bad guy in the town next door. So, but I would recommend watching that show. There's a sweetness to it. It's entertaining. Clooney tells some funny stories. And you know, when I'm watching Clooney, it's like looking in a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how much do I look like this guy? Holy cow.
Did
Don't
you
downgrade yourself.
Take?
I'm sorry?
Did you take a double take?
Triple.
Wait a minute.
Triple take.
Don't you think that's a downgrade for Steve, Andrea?
A little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you know the burden I live with. I walk down Michigan Avenue. Denzel! No, it's Steve. And then I'm on the other side of the street. George Clooney? No, it's Steve.
I don't know how you do it.
It's a burden. Mm-hmm. It's a burden that I live with. At 6:42, underreported story from Wednesday, the Illinois General Assembly did pass several measures on regulating and restricting firearms in a way that hasn't been done before. As far as the legislation for Commander Paul Bauer, well, not so fast. But among those calling for action was Cardinal Blaise Supich, who wanted to join the quote, countless young people asking for change in the wake of the mass shooting in Parkland and the 2012 massacre at Sandy Hook. Blaise Supich said, quote, "The youth of our nation are shaming the adult world into action." At a morning press conference ahead of the votes, their voices are a wake-up call that should have been heard years ago. I think this is interesting because if you combine the power of these kids with the power of the Catholic Church in Chicago, now what do you got?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, one of the arguments, of course, is that who's got tougher gun laws than Chicago? Almost nobody. And look at all the violence here. Well, what we know for a fact is guns are pouring across the border from Indiana. Some of the loosest gun laws in the country are in Indiana. And we also know that the gun that killed Commander Paul Bauer came from Wisconsin.
Right.
And the gun in Wisconsin, Wisconsin only in quotes, provides about 5% of the illegal guns in Illinois. That one went through a number of hands before it got into the hands of a four-time felon who never should have been on the street anyway.
Right.
So we need to tighten. I don't disagree with people who go, you know, enforce the laws on the books. Absolutely. We need to tighten the laws on the books so gun criminals cannot be on the street.
Right.
If you're a four-time gun felon, what are you doing on the street?
No kidding.
It's ridiculous. But in addition to that, we need those common sense measures, extensions of the laws that are already on the books and new laws as well to cover this. And when 70% of NRA members, in some polls, as many as 80 or 85% say, yeah, of course we want appropriate and extensive background checks. Why would you argue with that?
No, I know. And honestly, this gun, as you said, changed hands several different times. Once, twice legally, twice illegally. So it has to be harder to buy a gun over the internet.
There's no background check on an internet sale. There's no background check on a private sale. There's the gun show loophole. I've said this a million times. As a supporter of the Second Amendment and a believer in the Second Amendment, as it's written, mm-hmm. not as others have interpreted it, but as it's written, you should be very concerned about the continued NRA fight against this common sense stuff that the vast majority of the country wants. Because if Democrats win Congress this fall, it's not just going to be talk of impeaching Donald Trump. It's going to be talk of really restricting guns. In other words, make some deals now that make sense, that are appropriate, and stop balking at everything that lunatic Wayne LaPierre is yapping about.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I'm trying to get the Dana Lash filter on my TV. That's the spokes yapper for the NRA. Because I don't need to see her talk ever again. So I don't know if Comcast provides that, but I'd be willing to pay extra per month just to not see her yelling.
So like you block your kids, this could kind of be like a blocking of her.
I want a Wayne LaPierre, Dana Lash block on my TV, a filter, and I'm willing to pay extra for it.
I think all TV should come with that, honestly.
Mm-hmm. So, but there is hope. There is hope. The power of the kids from Parkland, Florida, spreading around the country, and they don't seem to be losing interest in this.
Yes.
Because, again, all they want to do is go to school. We had an incident in Georgia yesterday. Remember the notion that teachers should be armed?
Yes.
Well, we had a teacher in Georgia who locked themselves in a room with a gun and fired a shot. As a teacher who is mentally unstable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while it may be a random and extreme example, civilian with a gun in school who has issues, how do you know that's not going to be replicated?
Right. It happened. He was arrested. Again, another point.
Cops and the best in law enforcement and military folks say, here's what we don't need. We don't need more untrained civilians with guns. So the next time somebody wants to throw up the argument that an 18-year-old can have a gun and go to war for this country, please feel free to remind them that, yes, they can if they're properly trained by the service branches of this country and regulated in how they would carry,
mm-hmm.
clean, stow, and use that gun if necessary in extreme cases. None of those circumstances apply to a nut shooting up a school.
Right.
So we're just looking for common sense and peace. There was a scene in the early 70s from an All in the Family, Archie Bunker. This isn't talking about school shootings. This is talking about the spate of hijackings that occurred then. But substitute teachers for passengers. I think you'll see where I'm going here. This is Archie Bunker from All in the Family. Listen to his solution of how you stop hijackings on airplanes.
Speaking in reply to the editorial broadcast last Saturday.
Good evening, everybody. This is Archie Bunker of 704 Hauser Street, veteran of the big war, speaking on behalf of Guns for Everybody. Now, question. What was the first thing that the communists done when they took over Russia? Answer, gun control. And there's a lot of people in this country want to do the same thing to us here in a kind of conspiracy, see. You take your big international bankers, they want to, masticate the people of this here nation like puppets on a wing. And then when they get that gun, train us over to the communists.
Oh, Archie, I'm now, glad I'm they put you on a stool. You look taller sitting down.
Now, I want to talk about another thing that's on everybody's mind today, and that's your stick-ups and your skyjackings, which, if that was up to me, I could end the skyjackings tomorrow.
You could?
All you got to do is arm all your passengers. And then he ain't got no more superiority there, and he ain't going to dare to pull out no rod. And then your airlines, then they wouldn't have to chase the passengers on the ground no more. They just pass out the pistols at the beginning of the trip, and they pick them up again at the end. Case closed.
That's incredible, huh?
So give the guns to the teachers as they go in the morning, collect them at the end of the day.
Pass out the pistols is what he said.
The Hawks did not do well last night. As a matter of fact, a 7-2 loss. And as you know, whenever the Hawks don't do well, we're happy to supply you with a very brief Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing recap that sounds like this.
Sharks 7 and the Blackhawks 2.
Hawks play again when?
Blackhawks are... That's a good question, Steve, actually.
I believe it's tomorrow night.
The Chicago Blackhawks are back in action tomorrow night. Is that right?
Well, you go ahead and check there while we try to figure out how fast we can get Annett back. No, the Kings will be the host tomorrow afternoon, right? Isn't that it?
Tomorrow correct. Tomorrow afternoon. Correct.
Continue a brief West Coast swing. Forgot to mention our friends at ChocolateWineAndSpiritsExpo.com. Brought you the headlines at the bottom of the hour. Mary Vandeveld, this horrific multi-semi accident that happened yesterday on the Eisenhower. I drove by that thing maybe 2:30 or 3 o'clock. I was on the tri-state headed south, and there's a space there where the tri-state and the Ike sort of run parallel, and just billowing smoke and in just an awful accident. Really didn't have the scope of it until maybe an hour later, and it turns out the Ike was closed till what, mid last night, late last night?
Oh yeah, I think it was overnight, past midnight. It was eastbound, so it was coming in right by St. Charles Road in the Elmhurst area. Yeah, there were three semi trucks, four cars were involved. The fire from one of the semis, and unbelievably, only one fatality. And it was amazing because you would have, you know, it was just so terrible. And three others were taken to the hospital.
The cars were crushed.
Oh yeah, you couldn't even see the cars in some of the overhead views. And it was, yeah, it was all night long. It was blocked off, and they at least reopened westbound lanes earlier. You know, probably about five or six. But oh man, whew.
I assume the fatality came from one of the cars, or we don't know.
I believe it was one of the trucks, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure, actually.
Okay.
I don't think they're still investigating. They still don't know what happened.
Yeah, we don't know why it happened, but you know, full speed traffic headed in on the Ike, and suddenly it's the Armageddon.
Yeah, that's not a fun area right there. There's too many things merging.
Yeah,
into 290. It's
kind of amazing. Nice. It doesn't happen more often.
Exactly.
But the Ike's fine this morning.
Yes. Well, we just had an accident almost in the same spot.
Is that
actually
right?
And they cleared it really fast, so everything's fine now.
All right, we need a break before we get to the top of the hour. There's a survey out this week from U.S. News and World Report about the best states to live in the country. Guess what? We didn't do great. But some of the scoring I take issue with. We'll get to that later on as well. And Lee Sklink after 7 o'clock on real estate. The Wrigley Building's for sale. We may make an offer. That's all coming up on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo! Woo!
Ow! Love that money!
Sponsored by Grandview Homes, it's our friend Elise Glink on the Steve Cochran Show. Good morning, Elise. So I've got to actually put, I got to punch the phone up to get her on the air. Is that how this works? It's like my first day. Good morning, Elise. So now I have to turn the phone on. Is that how we get her on the air? Just be glad I'm not flying a plane. Good morning, Elise. How are you?
Hi, still good. How are you?
Sponsored by Grandview Homes. Elise Glink is here. Ben Carson, Housing and Urban Development, wanted to spend $31,000 on a dining set. Now, I don't know a lot about the cost of dining sets. That seems high to me. What do you know about the cost of dining sets?
Yeah, it seems a little bit high, even if it is made from solid mahogany and the base alone was $7,000. But hey, what, you know.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, there were a lot of chairs, but the math doesn't work out for me because I know he will only sit in a chair that costs $5,000 or more, so you can only get six of those, and then there's nothing left for the table. So a little confused how many people will be joining him for dinner in his office.
Is he eating in the office a lot? Is he entertaining in the office a lot? I don't quite understand, to be honest with you.
Yeah, nobody does. Nobody does. But hey, they're going to save $7 billion off their budget. They're whacking the HUD budget. And that just means a whole lot of other people aren't going to have dining room sets either.
So what exactly is what is the news out of Housing and Urban Development?
Well, they had been rolling along as one of the, I have to say, for all of the things that Ben Carson said during the election cycle a year and a half ago, he's actually been one of the more steady of the Trump administration, secretaries who's gone in, and he hasn't.
And he didn't have any experience. Zero.
None.
He was a doctor.
Right. And he said, don't even put me there because I don't know anything about the federal government. But anyway. He went in, and so this year I've been watching, you know, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, and it's all been kind of proceeding, you know, not crazy, just sort of moving along. And then all of a sudden, the new budgets are now coming in, and he's been asked to cut $7 billion out of it. That is a big amount of money, because a lot of what HUD does is, besides helping out with FHA and loans, and they take back HUD homes and things like that, they actually do a lot of work with the homeless in this country and affordable housing. And they supply a lot of money to organizations, housing authorities around the country for down payment assistance, for homeless problems and had a bit, not even just providing affordable right. housing, but to loans to developers who are going to build it as well. And cutting $7 billion out of that chain is a lot.
It's something that's kind of bubbling under because the noise from the White House is always the loudest noise of the day, but it's an important story and we ought to be keeping an eye on it.
Yeah, you know, I'm sitting here watching it thinking, well, it could be a lot worse. That was my initial thought, because as bad as it is, when I look at what's happening in some of the other places, you know, he's still the better one.
He's the least disappointing one? Is that our scorecard now? Wow.
Yeah, it's the scorecard of what I can say on a public radio airwave.
Hey, you want to buy the Wrigley building?
I wish I had known it had been for sale for $33 million with that parking lot before.
Right. So
we can all chip in.
So if we put all our money together, we make a nice cash offer. Who knows? Anything's possible. But the famous Wrigley building, the legendary Wrigley building, historically important like this Tribune Tower, is apparently up for sale.
Yeah, I thought that was a really interesting story from the Chicago Tribune. The work, they've done a lot of work to that building. I was in it about, I don't know, a year ago for a meeting, and the offices were not among the renovated offices. This is a company that's been there for a long time. Most of their operations are actually in the South. They're an oil-based company. But it was it had already started to look a little bit different. The lobby had been spiffed up.
It's got a Walgreens now.
Yeah. Yep, that's a good tenant, long-term tenant, huge Walgreens. I mean, yeah. It just goes on and on. They did some smart stuff. You know, they opened up the walkway between the two buildings. They're still trying to rent out some of that space, apparently. But, good for them. You know, the guy who started Grubhub, he's going to make more money, Eric Lefkowski.
Well, that's good. He needs it.
He does.
Andrea?
Elise, good morning.
Good morning, Andrea. How are you?
I'm great. I love your ThinkLink emails that you blog about every week, and you had a really interesting one this week. Renting properties isn't easy. What happens when your tenant breaks their rental lease, or if you suddenly decide, you know what, I'm not going to sell my place, I'm going to rent it out?
Well, in Chicago, you know, let's just look at the city for a moment. We're doing worse than basically every major other metropolitan area now. It's for housing appreciation. And so one area that we are doing okay in is renting. So a lot of people are now thinking about renting out their place, either through Airbnb. And there was a new study out this week that showed that Airbnb is having a positive effect. It's raising home prices when you sell, but it's also raising the rents that you can get. It's an interesting, well-researched study. So people are now starting to think about renting their homes, and we, you know, have called out over the last couple of weeks, since this is the big real estate season, some things that landlords need to be thinking about. And when it comes to renting, one of the things that you have to think about is what happens when it doesn't go well, and your tenant just decides to, they sign a lease with you, and 2 weeks later they announce they're leaving. And what happens to the money, the down payment? Well, it's not a down payment, but your first and last month's rent that you might have collected, and any other damages. And so the person who wrote in, this happened to them. It was a first-time home buyer. They made what I call the classic mistake in my book. I talk about this. A timing mistake, right? They decided to look for a house. They couldn't find one. They decided to rent, and boom, they found a house to buy right after they signed the lease. And this landlord's like, well, what do I do now? You know, what do I do? And the answer is you have to look to the lease. So when you think about these kinds of issues ahead of time, you have to imagine that they might walk away. And while you're still entitled to go after them for the rent, the reality is that's an expensive, time-consuming, annoying process to go through, and it may not result in the way that you want it to. So collect money up front, make sure that they understand that you need to know if they're leaving, you expect some time, and you expect them to fulfill the terms of the lease.
All important stuff to know. And by the way, Elise's book, Everything You Need to Know About Buying a House But We're Afraid to Ask, is not the title, but it is the book that's got all the first-time homebuyer information in it. What's the actual title?
It's called 100 Questions Every First-Time Homebuyer Should Ask, and it just, as you know, came out a couple of weeks ago. You can get it on Amazon or wherever fine books are sold.
Oh, it's not where the crappy books are?
No, it's where the good ones are.
Okay. And last question. Is there anything about the Jared Kushner story we don't understand from a real estate perspective? In other words, if I needed $500 million to save my real estate empire or my real estate backside, and I went and talked to several people with lots of money, and then those people came into the White House and had access to meetings they wouldn't otherwise have and maybe access to favors they wouldn't otherwise get, would that be wrong?
Apparently it's not wrong in this world, at least not yet. I hold out hopes that somebody is going to stand up and say, you know, this really isn't kosher. But we'll see what happens. I have to say, Steve, it's just astonishing every day. I don't know about you, but every day I wake up and I think, what trouble did our country get in yesterday?
Yeah. The chaos of the day.
Every day it's not just one thing. Every day it's like four or five things. So, stunning.
It's the chaos of the day theory. So there's nothing in escrow I don't understand here. There's no Jared Kushner clause in the mortgage I wouldn't understand that allows them to do this. It is what it is.
The only thing you need to understand is that his building that's at the center of this, 666.
Ironically enough,
the 666 building in New York, that building cost them way too much money. They're way underwater on it. And unlike the, just to bring it all the way around, the Wrigley building, which is going to be a stunning success when they sell it, these guys way overpaid because they apparently don't know what they're doing. And now they are treading water for their lives. And thank God Dad got elected to be president, because look at all these people with money that want to talk to them.
I'm sure it's just a coincidence.
Yeah.
We did the U.S. News and World Report study end of last hour, and it listed Iowa as the best place to live in the country. You agree?
I think there's nothing wrong with Iowa. It's a nice place. They seem to do a lot for calling out the elections every once in a while. They grow corn and wheat and soybean. It's a nice place. It's not my first choice. I like mountains.
563 texter says Iowa ! Sent a picture of a factory type looking deal with smokestacks. Says I just crossed over into Iowa. Have you seen or smelled this place? It's not number one.
And there you go, on the ground.
Live report. Lease Glink sponsored by Grandview Homes. Go to thinkglink.com, get all your information. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hawk a riddle, yeah, come on. Get your black hawk tickets, yeah.
John DeCoste, musical director and writer for the program, who is about to go under the knife. On Monday, John will have surgery. He's having an extra knee put in.
Wow.
Going with a third knee.
Good move.
Wait, I'm being told that's incorrect. He's having a knee replaced.
One or two?
Well, I think he's starting with one, then he's going to go to the other one.
Got it.
He might do the whole set.
Yeah.
But he's starting with one. I can't remember if it's the right or left. I guess it's more important if the doctor knows.
Make sure he writes on there, it's this one.
Right. And what we are thinking about doing is giving away his old knee on the air. Seventh caller, who wants John's old knee?
Gross.
But anyway, good luck to John DeCoste. But he wrote a few Hawker riddles before he left.
Cool.
Here's one. You know, you guys have been complaining about it being too easy. Well, this one's not easy.
No, we'll get this one.
First correct caller, first correct answer is going to win Hawks tickets and a shot at season tickets. So here's the Hawker riddle.
Are you going to read it?
Oh, do I have to read it out loud?
Yeah, you do.
Oh, I was reading it to myself.
No, read it to the people.
March 6th. Is that today?
It's 4 days from now.
Oh, it's March 2nd today?
Today is not March 6th. I'm here.
March 6th, born 1935, from Chicago's South Side. He mostly took a horse or a plane for a ride. On her first hit show, he was Wild West Jim. Number two was a Black Sheep squad led by him. It's a typo in the front of this that I had to, like, fix.
I'm not even going to pretend to know this one.
Yeah.
Can we get one more time on that, Steve? I feel like I can get it.
Can I tell you what really happened here?
Sure.
The March 6th is the game that's on. It has nothing to do with the riddle.
Oh.
But it was all smushed together with a type, so I thought it was part of it.
I tried to save paper. That's on me.
No, it's not your fault. Born 1935 from Chicago's South Side, he mostly took a horse or a plane for a ride. On his first hit show, he was Wild West Jim. Number two was a Black Sheep squad led by him.
Oh, Black Sheep. Got okay. Okay.
You don't know, do you?
I really don't.
No clue at all. Yeah. First correct answer, 312-981-7200. You will be a big winner. Oh, you know what it's time for?
Make America vote again today. Mama, vote today and tomorrow. Mama, come on. Everyone, Mama, it's democracy.
I want to thank Steve Sanders and Dana Barrett, everybody on the noon newscast, or 11 o'clock newscast, I should say, at Channel 9 yesterday. Eric Edelstein and Pat Brady and I did that newscast. Did a hit on that newscast talking about Make America Vote Again.
Very nice appearance, I heard.
Abigail Grace was a big fan.
Yes.
Big fan. She was watching the TV, apparently saying, hi, Pops. And then whenever the camera went off me and onto them, she said, Pops, come back.
Yeah.
That's all you want.
That's
in life.
Cute. That, you know what? That's the demo. That's the viewers that they want.
So, it's yeah. You know, I mean, really, what else do you need? Here's the deal. For those of you who might be new to the program, Make America Vote Again simply means this. Whether you're Republican or Democrat, it is vitally important that you vote, whether you're independent. It's vitally important that you vote in the primary on March 20th. One of the questions we get all the time is, why can't we pick a ballot that allows us to vote for both? This is one of the reasons it's important to vote again. Those who benefit most from the rules are those that make the rules and have the least incentive to change the rules. So therefore, we need new people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there may be many people that you like who are serving. Then you better vote for them to keep them in. But if you're truly frustrated with the fact that, this is my humble opinion, Mike Madigan is destroying Illinois and Donald Trump's destroying the country, well, that doesn't make you Republican or Democrat. That makes you independent. And I believe more people are independent-minded than ever before. So, yes, to vote in the primary, you're going to have to select a ballot. But for the first time in my life, I'm actually suggesting you select a ballot to vote defensively.
Mm-hmm.
That's vote against people who you don't want in control anymore.
A lot of people say that's what they're doing this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So on March 20th, there are many ways to vote. You can vote early right now.
Yes.
But certainly on March 20th, you can go to whatever polling place you normally go to. It's very unlikely you're not registered to vote if you voted in the last presidential election you're in. If you are currently breathing the same air we're breathing, you're probably registered. Make it very easy in this state to register.
And if you go and are not registered, you can vote. You can register right then and there and then just vote. One stop
day
shopping.
Of.
Day of. Yeah.
All of this is vitally important because the far right and the far left always show up for the primaries. So in the case of Illinois, the far left would support Mike Madigan. They're going to be there. They're going to vote. If you agree with me that it's time for a change and Mr. Madigan needs to no longer be speaker, then you need to have people who have the courage to vote him out as speaker and to vote for somebody else. The only way you're going to do that is if you vote. So if we go with the premise that the far left shows up, well, you got to go with the premise that the far right shows up. And if you don't want Republicans overrunning whatever your personal agenda is, then you better get out and vote as well. That's the defensive vote. The offensive vote is to go out there and figure out which candidate you like because you like what they stand for. We have a very competitive attorney general race.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
We have
one of the most crowded fields I've ever seen.
We have a governor's race that is quite crowded as well, but some people would say less competitive. They wish there were more,
mm-hmm.
as
and
in choices.
The story we did this morning, 25 to 35% are still undecided as to who they're going to vote for.
How about
for
that?
Governor.
How about that? I thought Chris Kennedy was impressive last night in the debate.
I thought so.
But that's just one of the names. So here's what you need to do. You need to do your homework. Do your research. You can print a sample ballot at ballotpedia.org. That's ballotpedia, like Wikipedia, ballotpedia.org. And when you print that sample ballot, you'll be able to take that right into the voting booth with you.
Yep.
And every one of the candidates in Illinois has a hyperlink that goes to their personal page that tells you how they stand on various issues. There's your research. You can do the entire ballot and the research needed in less than 10 minutes.
That's all you have to do. Ballotpedia.com is the site that you would recommend it. It's an excellent site. .org.
And one correction that we need to make. An employee at the Cook County Clerk's Office in Lake County says residents can visit lakecountyclerk.info and click on the March 28th primary icon to see deadlines, times, and dates for voter registration if you're confused there.
March 20th primary.
What did I say?
28th.
March 2018 mm-hmm. primary.
Okay.
Yeah, March 20th, 2018.
Yes.
Ballotpedia.org is a bit cumbersome to find the Lake County information. It's not if you go to lakecountyclerk.info and click on the March 2018 primary icon to see those deadlines, times, and dates. And thank you, Linda Music or Musak. I appreciate your information there, and thank you for listening. All right, so we have a winner. The winner is Barbara. Barbara from Schaumburg. Let me go to Barbara. Good morning, Barbara. Who was the answer?
Good morning.
What was the answer, Barbara?
Robert Conrad.
Robert Conrad's correct. Woo! All right, that's all the woos we have apparently in staying
in it.
The sitting ovation.
Yes, enough woos. The tickets are great.
Yes, they are. Chicago, Colorado. Hold the line, Barbara. Chicago, Colorado, Tuesday night. You're entered to win Four Seasons tickets for next year, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingandCooling.com. The great Kevin Matthews in studio for a bit. He's coming up after headlines that are next on 720 WGN.
That's it. Come on, Uncle Jed, the party's starting. Hear that music?
/7:44 If you had told me that Kevin Matthews is going to write a book, I would have told you stop smoking what he no longer smokes, because the odds of that slim. Yet he has, and I couldn't be more thrilled for him and about it. And great to see you, my friend Kevin Matthews.
Yeah, and it's not a coloring book.
No,
and that
well, you could, Yeah, but I wouldn't.
It's a real book. It's a real book.
It's called Broken Mary. We'll get to it in just a second because it's really sweet. I think. I think it's inspirational. And an important story. But before we get to that, let me just say, you look great.
You know,
10 years ago, Am I right? 10 years ago, you were diagnosed with MS?
MS. People will say to me, well, you've got the good MS. I'm like, what? What's that? No, I you just do
oh,
what you
got the
do.
Good cancer.
If you've got cancer, oh, this is the cancer you want.
So what does it do as far as your life goes? Are the meds good enough that you're it's able to keep
Steve, there's good days and bad days? And all you folks, because there's a person a day that's going to be diagnosed with MS in your audience. Rush right here is a great hospital, but I think they're getting real close to a cure because it's parallel to Parkinson's disease. And the I'm on an IV that I have to take twice a year now. And it's the medicine. You've got to take something. I know so many people with MS, and they'll do holistic. They'll go down to Mexico and have bees sting them. And, and I'm like, and they're just...
You go know, to Germany, get spanked, claim it was part of the treatment.
Pretty much, you got to be with a doctor.
But I got to tell you, I saw you 5 years ago, and you didn't look great. No. You look better now. Nobody does that. Nobody looks better 5 years later.
I don't know. I'm just...
I look like a bus hit me. He looks better than he did.
I'm just blessed, I guess.
Well, how's the family?
Now, every time I see Steve, he goes, so, are you divorced?
No, that's not true.
Yes, you do.
That's
all the
not
time.
True.
Yes,
that's
it's
not true.
True. I'm still married to the same beautiful.
So
she's an angel.
Over your skis.
No, big time.
Well,
we all are.
Yeah.
We all are. And yes, I'm married, and my kids are growing up. Teague, my daughter, who you Chicago heard on the radio, she has three kids.
Come on.
She's 29, three kids.
Come on.
Trevor's out in L.A. He's a musician with Dawes.
Is he still playing?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's with Dawes. And so they just think life is life's good. And, you know, that's what you got to just enjoy the good things.
And you're still doing the podcast.
I still do a weekly podcast, worldwide demand, you know, big numbers over in Japan.
Understandably. You're always huge in Asia.
Exactly.
Who's doing it this week?
Jim Shorts, Richard Baggs, real name. Jim is filling in. And we've unearthed some, you know, 30 years. I found some audio of me talking twice to Yoko Ono.
And by the way, that's not a voice in his head. Actually, Yoko Ono.
There's a and it's I started to listen to this, and she's already correcting me. She was like, just you got to hear this.
My angry mom
over at Dahl.com.
All right. Yeah. As a matter of fact, this is Steve Dahl's network, and anytime on demand.
Yeah, it is. It's once a week, you know, that I air it on.
But you can pull all the episodes.
You can,
Okay. So. Andrea, say hi to our
Kevin,
friend.
I have to tell you, when you walked in, I said, I remember the Kev had proms.
Oh,
and
yeah,
we always
yeah,
tried
yeah.
to get tickets to go to the prom and whatnot. But are you getting people now saying all the time, hey, I remember this, I remember this.
Because
And now you got a whole new generation. A millennial
you got little Kev heads that, that's how come their dad, mom, and then the kids grew up, and then the kids grew up, and Freebird. And Yeah, what a great time we had.
Carms, did you know, did you meet Kev for the first time today?
No. So that, you know, you're talking about little Kev. It's like when I first started interning, when you made me go chase after Carol Marine when she was leaving Channel 5. When I was on the Steve Cochran show at the old
school. It was Kev's idea.
Wait, chase after her for a job, right?
No, literally chase her down the street.
Why are you leaving NBC? Go find out. Carm, get down there. I was like 22. But that's, I was interning at 1000, and that's when, you know, Kev had his show in the middays, and you walked in and just, you guys were like, I don't want to, you know, get go too far, but it was like radio gods were going on at that point. It really
was. The thing about the 90s. The 90s when, well, really mid-80s to mid-90s when the Loop was absolutely at its peak. Kev would do something ridiculous on the air that frankly was fireable. But on the exact same day, Brandmeier would be printing 20s on a copier, and the Secret Service would be showing up, and then Kev was suddenly off the hook. And I distinctly remember on more than one occasion, Larry Wirt, who runs his company, who is a good friend all of us, but Larry Wirt wanting to talk to you about something he was upset about, but suddenly Jim Shorts would pop in and he'd have the argument instead, and you were off the hook.
There was a time I was interviewing for a radio station in Michigan a long time ago. They came down and they wanted to hire me. I said, listen, I really want the job, but unfortunately Jim doesn't want anything to do with you people. Walk up, and still to this day I'll run into those people.
That's awesome.
This guy's insane.
Did Jim ever win an argument at home?
A few. And Jim is doing real well, folks. He has a casino on Beaver Island now.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah,
that's great.
It's on an Indian reservation. You can get M80s, meth, medical marijuana.
Fireworks.
As you know, I was always a big supporter of Jim.
I know you are.
Even in the tough days.
You know, and Jim has got something for you, Steve.
What's that?
Come football season.
Okay.
They're starting to animate Jim's life.
Oh, you're kidding.
So we have something coming down the end of summer.
Will you come back to promote it?
I'd love to. Okay. I'd have to ask Jim, you know.
I understand. He's in charge. David Plyer will join us in just a moment because David asked you to speak to a group that's important to him, and we want to talk about the book when we come back.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
One of the great thrills of being around the Loop in the old days was Kevin and Buzz talking blues. You know, Buzz is like a fitness nut. Were you aware of this?
I just talked to him. I had him on my show 2 weeks
talking
ago.
Talking about Buzz Kilman. Yeah,
Buzz is, he's
got to be, he's 70 if he's a day, and he's in fit like a 35-year-old.
He promotes, too, like core work, you know, the core workouts.
Oh, yeah, he's a stud.
Ridiculous.
He's actually in San Diego this weekend applying at Buzz for SEAL teams. How old are you?
Well, you know what? It's about time.
It's about time we get somebody ready to rock.
All right, so give me the premise on Broken Mary, the book.
All right. So this is in 2008. I'm on the air. I'm in Michigan. I can't move. I didn't know. It was like, am I having a stroke? I couldn't move my hand, arm, leg. I found out. I came back to Michigan. I was diagnosed. They thought it was a brain tumor.
That was their opener.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? Sit down. It could be a brain. We think it's a brain tumor. We can't operate. If it is, go get your life in order. Have a nice day.
Wow.
You know, I was pretty proud at that point because when you're told you probably are going to die, how are you going to react to that? I just didn't want Deb, who was in the room with me, to just lose it.
Right.
Which, you know, she's strong, but and so,
which she had every right to do at that point.
Every right.
Yeah.
So that's 2008 in November, and now they find out, no, it's a rare form of MS. And I undergo treatment, and it is tough treatment. It was really, really tough. In 2009, I'm back here. It's St. Patty's Day.
Okay.
And I had to go see my lawyer out in the western suburbs here. And I couldn't take the Stevenson. I had to take the Eisenhower because of the parade route.
Okay.
So I'm on the Stevenson, and here's where things, all of a sudden I hear this voice that says, go to the cemetery. I'm like, okay. And I start to smile a little bit because
you weren't hallucinating?
No.
This wasn't the old days?
I know what cemetery they're talking about. In the 90s, Debbie and I, my wife and I, there was a big article on Mary, the Virgin Mary. There was a very strong people were going out to the cemetery because they were, and so we used to take the kids out there, and you would, it was amazing what you felt, what you saw, and I knew that's the cemetery. I went out, it's off Wolf Road, Our Lady Queen of Heaven Cemetery.
Okay.
And I get to Wolf Road. Am I going to take the exit? I hear it again. Go to the cemetery. I'm going to go to the cemetery. Go up Wolf Road. Go into the cemetery. It's huge. And you could get lost. All of a sudden, I'm driving and I know exactly where to go. There's this huge cross of Christ. And I'm sitting there. And I'm going, okay, am I going to get out or not? And there's a guy next to me. It's early. There's not a cloud in the sky. It's a beautiful day. Okay, I'm going to get out. And I walk to that huge crucifix. And I put my hand on his feet, Jesus' feet. And I just said, I'm so afraid. Because at this time, I'm like, this MS is ruining my career.
You know you're sick.
I'm sick.
You don't know why you're hearing this voice.
I have no idea. I put my hand up on his feet. All of a sudden, water starts pouring down on my hand and my arm, which I couldn't move because of the MS. It completely clears up. And I went home and I told Debbie, and I just, at that point, I just stopped worrying about everything. It was
just a living, breathing miracle.
A huge miracle. Now, a couple of years later, 2 years later, it's 2011, I'm in Grand Rapids, it's in November. Again, I hear another voice that says, buy your wife some flowers.
Okay.
I look up, and there's a flower shop. So, folks, there's nothing's coincidence.
Right.
I pull into the flower shop. I get out of my truck to go in, and I look over by this dumpster, and I notice that there is a statue, about a 4-foot statue of the Virgin Mary. And she's laying next to the statue. She's broken in half. She's covered in garbage and dirt, and I walk over. And I look at her, and this voice to this day said to me, will you deny me? Will you deny my mother? And what came over me was I walked into the flower shop. The clerk, I'm all by myself. I said, I want to buy that statue of the Virgin Mary. Oh, no, we can't sell it. It's a family heirloom. And I, again,
the one that's broken outside, they can't sell?
Yeah, can't sell. Her arms are missing. She's broken in half at the waist. And I just said a quick prayer. I said, you know, just help me. I can't leave her.
Right.
And again, then I heard that voice again. Are you going to deny me? Are you going to deny my mother? And out of nowhere, I just said, listen, I'll give you money to the Franciscan nuns that live out here. I had no idea that there's Franciscan nuns that live out here.
They're everywhere, Kevin.
It just came out. And she goes, I recognize your voice. Are you that guy on the radio? And there's my door. I said, yes, I'll give money to the nuns. I have no idea who are out here.
Sure.
I take her. I put her in my truck. I take her home. A month later, I'm telling a priest that I know. I said, listen, I found this statue, and she's broken in half. He sends me over to this monument maker to put her together. And the guy looks at her and goes, oh, yeah, we can put her together. I can make new hands for her. We can paint her. She'll look brand new.
Okay.
And I said, no, I want to keep her broken because it reminds me of me. We're all broken.
Wow.
And literally, I'm broken. I'm being thrown out of radio. I'm trashed just like her.
How are you not crying your eyes out when you're doing all this stuff?
Well, I'll tell you what, but people can relate. And I call her Broken Mary. She's been blessed. And now this statue, this is getting attention worldwide.
Well, here's the deal. The book, you delve into not just this.
Right.
You talk about the old days.
Oh, yeah.
You talk about your family. You talk about what you're doing now. You talk about the fight with MS. But I don't remember a particular... I remember a strong bond with a Native American Indian community. But I don't remember a spirituality overcoming you back in the day.
But if you look back, it really was. When I had all the characters, Devon...
Yeah.
Devon was my way of talking about... religion. Jesus. Loved Jesus over the year. Remember that.
But I remember that artistically, but were you a church-going guy back then?
No. I grew up in a pretty violent household.
Well, we talked about that.
And I just wanted, at a four-year-old, I'm like, just Jesus, take me, kill me.
Right.
I want to go to heaven.
Right.
You know, so it started at the age of four, you know, and it was always there. But this has manifested into, it's not me, it's Mary.
Where's Broken Mary now?
She's in a hotel room in Rosemont. I'm looking, what am I I doing yesterday? I'm sitting in a hotel in Rosemont. I'm looking at a casino across the street, and I've got a statue of the Virgin Mary in the room drinking water. I go, wow, boy, things have come 360.
Yeah. All right, you got to stick around. We got to do some news. More with Kevin coming up, and we'll tell you where he's going to be Sunday.
Yeah,
because you can go see Kev and get some information on the book. David, are you doing the interview on Sunday?
We're going to do a little bit of that.
Q&A?
Yeah.
That's
absolutely.
David Plyer's voice, by the way.
Hey, everybody.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I remember when Kev used to twerk to this. I didn't even know what twerking was.
You betcha. You betcha.
Kevin Matthews is here, and on Sunday, March 4th, at 3:30, he'll be at St. Juliana Church. And David Plyer, you're the guy to put this together. Is this your church?
This is my church. Yeah, it is. And
so what are you guys going to be doing?
Well, it's going to be a conversation with Kevin Matthews, really talk about the book. And this book, again, as Kev was saying, is about his career. So if you're
Broken Mary is the book.
Broken Mary is the book. You're going to love the story because it's really the story of radio and the loop days and the proms and all that other great stuff. But it is about this journey and finding this Broken Mary statue. And really, the book is all about everybody's got their stuff.
Everybody's broken.
Everybody is broken. Mm-hmm. And it just brings some level of inspiration because you find a connection. Everyone's going to find a connection to this book, and everyone's got something in their life that they struggle with. And this book just really makes you feel like you're not alone.
Kev, I love the honesty of it. And you were always honest, but in a lot of ways, you know, you can hide behind characters and do other things. I told you this before. I've said it privately. I'll say it publicly again. The Robin Williams of radio, one of the most brilliant minds you'd ever hear, one of the best talents ever on the radio. And again, a guy named Jimmy DeCastro and Larry Word as well were brilliant at finding people and putting them together. Yeah. And there was never a radio station quite like The Loop in the late 80s and 90s. Kev is good or better than anybody ever. A bad day for Kev was a great day for everybody else.
Yeah.
But I love how honest you are about this book and your own journey.
And see, a Broken Mary, people are going, what's Mary? I found a statue outside a dumpster of the Virgin Mary.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the story all on its own. I love the Mary now. I mean, there's no question. But I wrote this book, like I said, a priest. I find this statue. He blesses her, and it just takes off. And the priest, Father Mark, says, you know, you should really write a book about this. And he knows it was a professor. It's Sister Lucia. She's a Franciscan nun.
Is this a woman that didn't like you?
Yeah. We had lunch, and she did not want anything to do with me. She heard some of my podcast. She knows the history, you are basically working with Satan.
Yeah.
And her mother superior said, I want you to do this. And so she produced the book, and she would ask me questions. And one time she asked me about, tell me about the golf outings, because she heard about that.
Oh, boy.
And I wrote, and she wrote back, oh, my Lord. And what we ended up, I get the book, it's done. She submits it to three of the biggest publishing companies in America. All three want it. And we go to Beacon, we get Beacon, it's released, it's huge. I sign a waiver, all the proceeds go to churches in America.
How about that?
And what's ironic is, all of a sudden, you know, when you're around Mary, the mother of Christ, you will have this desire to learn the rosary. So for one Lent, I said, I'll narrate the rosary, and I'll put an app together, and I pitched it to Apple. They took it. It's a free download. You can go to Broken Mary, and it's being downloaded all over the world. Wow. And I made an app for smartphones. It's being downloaded all over the world, in the Philippines, all over the world.
Look at you, paying it forward in a million different ways.
Yeah. You go to, I went to Fatima. I'm supposed to go to eventually Lourdes. And this book, priests all over the world, they're reading this book. People want me to come and talk. We're all broken. And, you know, as I'm driving in here, I've been blessed with two great kids, a wife. I've got so many good things. You know, folks, you got to just stop turn off the politicians and what, and just really enjoy the simple things, because this is all a layover. You know, the next flight we take is our last one.
How about that?
And we get to choose where we're going to go. You know, if you, knowing what you know today, if you were boarding the Titanic and somebody, and they said, would you like a life jacket? And would you like a seat in the lifeboat? Wouldn't you do that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're at today. You know,
it's great to get smart no matter what age you're at, but you have the beauty of being able to have a platform to tell other people about it. By the way, you mentioned the website, I think, at one point.
Yes.
Is it BrokenMary.com?
BrokenMary.com. It's just doing well.
What do your kids think of the book?
They
read it?
Yeah, they...
Because that's not easy. That's not easy as a kid.
No, it's not easy
to be a kid of somebody famous, but to be a kid and read really personal stuff about your dad and mom.
Yep.
So what did they read it?
Yeah, they did, and I think they appreciated the honesty. You say you read it because it is a confession, and it cuts to the chase. It reads quick, and what I'm doing now is I've been asked to, you know, people will take the statue. I encourage them to take Broken Mary, and they do that. They'll take it inside hospice. I've had people listen to the Rosary app and actually die after the Rosary. I mean, they're taking people. Broken Mary is now going into prisons. It is just...
What's become your life work?
It is. Broken Mary is going to go over to Ireland. I know eventually she will end up in Rome at the Vatican.
Well, the books you were talking about, the Catholic priests reading this, we bought 1,500 books and passed them out to our entire congregation. There's a lot of Catholic churches doing that throughout the country.
It's,
you know, because it's an inspirational, absolutely inspirational, if anybody,
BrokenMary.com.
Okay, now hold on a second. What? You're traveling all over with Broken Mary. You buying a seat for her?
Actually,
you're not checking
Mary. You have to.
Yeah, you're not checking Mary. You're checking Mary, that's a risk.
I'm very close with the folks that take care of the Fatima statue, and you do. You actually buy a seat and put a statue.
It's like traveling with the Stanley Cup.
Right.
You know, you got something important.
And pilots love it.
Yeah. Sure.
You know?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That plane's going to be just fine.
I bet passengers love it, too.
Yeah, barrel roll that, baby. We're going to be fine.
Exactly. So it's. I'm very lucky.
Now, I understand that Kev's been working on his own impression of Jim Short, so maybe he can do that when we come back, because I don't know if it's any good.
Well, you know, Jim, the Sister Lucia, she asked, can Jim write the intro to the book? It is dark and vile. Oh. I've got a story.
No doubt.
I've got a story when we come back.
No. All right, and Dean Richards will join us, too.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you...
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than when I should. Yeah,
Dean Richards live from Channel 9, and Dean, Kevin Matthews is hanging out with us this morning.
So I heard.
And talking about his book, we want everybody to get this book. You know what I always say, get two copies, you're careless, you lose the first one, maybe get a third, hand it to a friend.
That's what I do.
Broken Mary, BrokenMary.com, and again on Sunday... You can meet Kev and be a witness in a different way to a sit-down at St. Juliana Church. Normally a sit-down in mob terms means something different, but it's going to be Kev and David Plyer and everybody. So, Dean, say hi to Kev.
We had a nice little dinner last night, actually.
Oh, you were at the dinner.
We had a great dinner last night.
Oh, okay, well, then you had your little intimate moment between the two of you.
We did. We picked I heard Dean's winners of the Oscars. And
yeah, here's the thing. We're going to do this right now, and you can do this on the air. So let me whip the Best Picture nominees out here.
Mm-hmm.
Call Me By Your Name, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Get Out, Lady Bird, Phantom Thread, The Post, The Shape of Water, and Three Billboards.
You do those in alphabetical order.
Give me the one. It's funny how
Steve
I can read.
He does that. Any list that you
I automatically
Steve,
put everything
he
in
automatically alphabetized.
Yeah. It's a gift. what are the ones that are definitely not going to win?
Call Me By Your Name.
Not going to win.
Definitely not going to win. Sadly, Darkest Hour is not going to win because that one is fueled strictly by the best performance by a male actor this year, Gary Oldman.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Dunkirk, amazingly, which was my number one for 2017.
Tremendous movie.
Is not going to win because it didn't have the things that I like best about it, that it didn't have a lead actor, a lead actress, a love story, you know, all the typical things in it. It was just, you know, the story, this true story of the escape of soldiers from the beaches of Dunkirk.
Right.
Not going to win. It's a magnificent movie, but it's not going to win. It'll win some technical awards. Lady Bird is not going to win for Best Picture. Phantom Thread will not win for Best Picture. The Post is maybe one of the most polarizing movies of the year, about the true story of the Pentagon Papers, not going to win.
So that leaves us Get Out, The Shape of Water, and Three Billboards. How many of these have you seen, Kev? Any of them?
Actually, all but Shape of Water.
Is that right?
Screen Actors Guild. I'm a member.
Yeah. So Get Out, The Shape of Water, and Three Billboards. And Kev and I made a movie which wasn't even considered this year. It was Shadow Puppets from Outer Space, which I thought was a brilliant piece of work.
I poured my heart out.
Yeah.
And I took my shirt off, too.
Right. All right, Dean, what do you like?
So,
my prediction for what's going to win is going to be Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. Mm-hmm. Everything has changed with the way that they do voting now. The manner in which they do the calculation is different. The voting body that used to be old white men and it was very easy to predict what they were going to vote
old
for.
Old White Men was another Kev movie. I thought that was strong.
Yeah.
Wait a took minute. My shirt off.
Old Grumpy Men?
I wasn't Grumpy Old Men. That was actually a different movie.
Grumpy Old Men, I know you were it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's changed. The people who are voting has changed. And the momentum between Three Billboards and Shape of Water has gone back and forth over the past 2 or 3 weeks. I think the big momentum right now is with Three Billboards. I think Shape of Water, while it is a beautiful, creative force of nature, is maybe a little too weird for a lot of the voters and is not going to make it. That's why I think
that was Jim Short's favorite.
That's why I think Guillermo del Toro will win Best Director this year for Shape of Water. Three Billboards will get it. Now, here's another scenario, though, that the Shape of Water and Three Billboards, which are the two leading vote getters right now, canceling each other out, and Get Out winds up being the best picture of the year, very much the same way Moonlight did last year.
The ghost of future dead Mel Gibson is standing by on the phone. Is this the ghost of future dead Mel Gibson?
It's Roy. I'm a ghost. Boo! Boy.
And future dead, who do you predict for Best Picture?
I don't care who wins Best Picture if it's not me.
Okay. Again, oddly enough, Dean, that's
nominated,
British future dead Mel Gibson, right. And we have no idea why.
British dead Mel Gibson, who is Australian.
Right.
With a hint of Scottish.
It is Australian. Yeah, of course it is. Kev, did you like Three Billboards?
I thought I, Tanya, was going to just sweep Sunday. I'm hoping that is the worst. That is so bad, you've got to watch it. Oh, it is so bad.
Allison Janney with the bird on her shoulder?
Oh, it's tremendous.
So bad.
I love it, though. I love it sort of for that very reason, that it's so over the top, the way that whole situation was. But Allison Janney, Margot Robbie, I think this is another movie much like Darkest Hour, where the performances outshine the total movie as a whole.
Mm. All right, I'm going to throw Dunkirk into the mix and say it's Dunkirk. It's not going to win, but I'm just throwing it in anyway. Yeah, because I love the movie.
You're a rebel that way, Steve.
I'm thinking Three Billboards.
Yeah. Three Billboards? Kev, you think Three Billboards?
Yeah.
By the way, the tiebreaker, Dean, is makeup and hairstyling. Darkest Hour, Victoria and Abdul Wonder, or Kev's Aunt Vicky? Which of those?
I think definitely it's going to be Darkest Hour for the Gary Oldman
transformation
into Winston Churchill. Well, Steve, what are you predicting for documentary short subject?
Well, as you know, I've seen none of them, so I'm definitely going with Edith and Edie.
Are you?
I'm going with Heaven is a Traffic Jam on the 405.
Actually, I'm being told that's Edith and Edie.
Right.
Edith and Eddie.
I got to go with Heaven is a Traffic Jam on the 405.
I'm going Jellyfish Australian Reef.
Dean, you're going to be on Sunday?
I am going to be on Sunday. We'll have interviews with many of the Oscar nominees. We'll have, I don't even remember. It's like a crazy day. So Oscar is my Super Bowl day. So
yes, it is.
Dean, do you think people will talk to Ryan? Stars, or are they going to avoid
them? They're only going to let people talk to Ryan who they know are
going to be. Talk about Ryan Seacrest.
Right.
I'm sorry. They're not going to let anyone near him who could be, say something embarrassing to him. So that's going to be controlled. I'm hearing that Ryan's interviews are all going to be previously recorded, not live the way they normally are.
Wow. So Deborah Messing's out, Dean?
Temper Messing, I don't think we'll ever be on an E-Red carpet again. Yeah. If I'm Ryan Seacrest right now, I say that I'm going to sit it out.
I'd get a sore throat Sunday morning. Yeah. There's no way.
I don't feel good.
Or just say, I don't want to be a distraction to the soul. Until this is all resolved, yeah, I don't want to be a distraction. That.
You know, that's a great call.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he'll be there, but he shouldn't be there. Or he could have what's her name? Come out there with him, Kelly
Juliana. Oh, Kelly. Yeah,
Kelly. What's her name? She's been on TV.
You could have Charlie Sheen.
Juliana is going to be on the carpet. She'll probably do the most of the heavy lifting on the E-Red carpet. And I'm urging if any
or Aunt Vicky.
Any of the stars that are listening, and I know all the stars listen to
Future Dead Mel Gibson.
Steve Show, including future dead ones. If you're going to talk to Juliana Rancic, bring her a pork chop or something.
Oh, yeah.
The girl needs
some pasta. Maybe some pasta.
She's got to eat.
Pudding.
She does have to
chocolate pudding or something.
She just got to go to the restaurants here, man. She's got to eat.
Yeah.
So, all right, buddy. Thank you.
See you guys. See you, Kev.
Bye, Dean.
Kevin Matthews. You know I love you, buddy, and it's great seeing you.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here.
And Broken Mary is the book. You're welcome here anytime. We talked about this 2 years ago. Would you ever fill in when I'm gone?
Yeah, I'd love to.
That'd be cool. We should have Kev fill in.
Yeah, for sure.
That would be great.
And it's nice that I asked you on the air, isn't it?
Well, yeah. But you know what? It's so good to be in Chicago because truly this city means so much to me. And my family, it's just it's wonderful.
If Kev fills in, can we bring the prom back?
Yeah, sure. For that day.
And the golf outing.
And the golf outing.
Well, Jimmy could probably co-host.
Jimmy could work one of the days.
Just one of them by himself.
You know, by the way, the 30th anniversary of the Jim Shorts outing is next year. And there's talk, Larry Wirt,
we should absolutely do
a charity.
We should absolutely do that. We'll tie into Broken Mary, right?
Why? I'd love that.
That'd be awesome.
God bless you, man.
Thank you so much, everybody.
David, remind us what's happening Sunday.
Conversation with Kevin Matthews, 3:30. Listen to a story about his career, his book, and then a little meet and greet afterwards. And it's on 7200 North Osceola in Chicago. And you can visit stjuliana.org for more information.
Get the book. BrokenMary.com is the website. Broken Mary's the book. Back next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
Let's go, 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 White Sox! We're with you all the way.
Very proud to be your Chicago White Sox radio station, where many of the post games will be hosted by former Dove Bar vendor Mark Carmen. Selling Dove bars in the upper deck. What year was this?
I started '92, Steve. First job in professional sports was the Dove bar guy, also cotton candy. It's the only profession that I actually did reach the pinnacle and rose all the way to Miller Lite and MGD. I stuck it out.
How old were you when you were selling Dove bars?
I was 35. No, I was 18?
18.
Yes.
It's come full circle. Now you're doing it.
And then eventually got to sell the hooch. Brooks Boyer's here. Brooks, first off, we're thrilled about the partnership. You know that.
As are we. Thanks for having us. It's an exciting day for us because our tickets go on sale today.
What time?
It was 10 o'clock. 10 a.m. WhiteSox.com is the place to be. But to be able to be in this iconic room with you guys on this station is something that's really exciting for me personally, but for our organization. We couldn't be happier to be on WGN.
One of the Southpaw is having some fun with the people on Michigan Avenue. One of the most exciting young teams in baseball that's going to surprise a lot of people this year, in my opinion, and a team that's going to entertain you every time you're out at Guaranteed Rate Field or you're hearing the games here because you'll hear every pitch of every game here. And you know we're less than a month away from opening day.
Yeah, I can't. We can't wait. We can't wait to get the boys back. It's fun to watch them play in a little bit of sunshine down in Arizona with the hopes. It just makes you realize baseball is coming.
I don't want to sell short this Mark Carmen expose that we're doing here his Dove bar.
Are you thinking he's trying to get endorsement deals? Do you hear all the brands he's dropping?
Yeah, he's dropping a lot of brands.
I don't know if that was a standard everyday thing around.
I mean, he's doing the post game. He would have time to be a vendor prior to that.
Right.
True.
Yeah, leading up to post game.
Hey, the White Sox are awesome.
Were there any particular skills that the Dove bar guy needed?
Well, we were talking about it because he was in the Comiskey Park when Comiskey Park had the full upper deck. So we would have loved to have seen the steps on a Fitbit or something along that.
That would have been a lot of work.
That would have been a lot of work. So, you know, he earned that you know, $3-4 an hour that he was getting.
Exactly. It was a very steep. The steps were very tight together too. You had to pay attention. I also, Brooks, I'd like to apologize to. There was a day game a couple of years later, and it was about 11 o'clock, Steve. And
11 a.m.
Yes, and you know, games at 1. I got a little bit of time, so I accidentally perhaps took a little nap down the left field line in the shade, and then that night, Mark Giangreco on the Channel 7 News said, looks like it was a sleepy day at the ballpark, and there was a video of me taking a
we gotta dig that up.
Yeah. Right? Oh.
We gotta
that's gotta
up.
Go on a big
that's
screen.
That's gonna be the lead of the first post-game show.
Yep. Absolutely.
Alright, now assembling on Michigan Avenue right now are Konerko, Burley, Brzezinski, and Dye, and they are about to engage in the first Pioneer Court. What do you call this, Brooks? Is this a drag race?
These are retro racers. And I do not believe that these are our sole retro racers. We've got more that are showing up. But these are about, 8 feet tall? 7.5
feet at least, tall? Yeah. And I would say the two honors any big leaguer wants are Cooperstown and a chance to be memorialized in foam. and they're going to race where?
They're racing right out here, right down Michigan Avenue. You know, we'd like to say that our fans need to race to get their tickets today with tickets going on sale, but you know, we're getting a nice little crowd of people taking some pictures of these guys.
Before the race starts, and who's going to tell these guys to go?
They're stretching. Southpaw is.
Well, Southpaw, you going to start them?
Southpaw, what are you doing in here? Oh, wait.
You and Carms, you should go out there.
We'll go out there.
You guys go out there.
Shouldn't Carm race him?
Dove Bar guy,
yes,
and Andrea, are you wearing shoe-wise?
I have more shoes.
You got heels on or something?
No, I don't have heels on today.
Okay, go.
If
right,
you lose,
go.
You owe us all a Dove Bar.
All right, Southpaw. Hi, Paw. All right, get out there, man. Get this race started. Southpaw headed out there right now. Meanwhile, we continue with Brooks. One of the most entertaining pieces of this story to me was the fact that this deal came together very quickly. So between the chairman and you and all the folks in your organization, and obviously Larry Wirt and Jeff Hill and Todd Manley and Paul Rennie, there had to be a meeting of the minds pretty quickly to put it all together.
Well, no doubt. No team wants to be faced with a situation where your flagship station goes into bankruptcy, completely out of our control.
Sure.
But with that, it gave us an opportunity to have these conversations. You hit on it a little bit earlier. We're in a situation where we are rebuilding on the field and have a very bright future. And when this all came together, WGN was the target station for us. This is where we wanted to be. You have a rich tradition in delivering baseball to
baseball
fans.
Belongs in GN.
And baseball and GN go so far back, even so far back that the White Sox were on GN quite some time ago. So this is an iconic brand that I referred to before in the city of Chicago that knows how to deliver baseball. And the relationship existed because of the TV relationship.
Right.
And to be able to pull something off. Deals like these don't these take 6 months to do.
And obviously you guys had a relationship with Larry Wirt, and Larry Wirt was the first domino to fall in this to make sure everything was lined up.
No doubt. I mean, a huge kudos to Larry, to Paul, to Todd. Those conversations happened quickly. You know, luckily there was a relationship there, especially between Larry and the chairman, where there was a lot of trust that could be built, that this could be built.
Well, they each have pictures
quickly
of each other that are very embarrassing, as you know.
Most likely.
The team itself reminds me, feel and buzz-wise, of the Blackhawks in 2008. 10 years ago, the Blackhawks, before they started that run, young, tons of talent, nothing but upside. What are they going to do? And it didn't take long before they got it cranked out.
No doubt. And what did they do? They came to WGN Radio.
Yep.
So we're hoping that the horseshoe
nice
is still around. But it's very similar. When you go through a rebuild process, and baseball is challenging, you have to stockpile young, talented players.
Sure.
and hope that they can all develop and produce and win a World Series. And that's our goal. That is the goal.
And Andrea, come to the window here, if you would, please, and let me see if I can figure out where we are. Is that
Carlton Fisk is here. Ron Kittle is here. Steve Stone is walking up. You can see all the new.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We are getting a.
Hawk is here.
They're
it is
here,
a preponderance
Steve.
Of giant foam heads.
They're all here, Steve.
All right, so where's the race going to be? What?
We're going to start right here.
You going to NBC and back?
Well, yeah, not that far. We're going to go to Howells and Hood because the patio is blocking it.
So you're going to run over the Walk of Fame?
Yeah, we're going to run over the Walk of Fame to Howells and Hood. And we have one mission here. Southpaw is going to take out Mark Carmen.
Okay, I like that. I got to be honest. Hawk has never looked better.
Hawk looks good.
Hawk doesn't age. Even as a retro racer.
We're all going to be racing, Steve.
All right, so you'll fill us in on how this finishes. Fisker.
Fisker. You got Aaron Rowan.
Yeah, there's Aaron Rowan.
Joe Creedy has arrived.
And everybody.
I've never seen such a crowd, Steve, for all of these retro racers here.
Yeah, it's incredible. And
Todd Manley, not in a foam suit. But
no, but he's in the middle of all of it. Yeah. So this will all be on video posted to WhiteSox.com and also to WGNRadio.com just minutes after the race is concluded. And Andre, are you handicapping? You got anybody you like in this?
I don't know. I like Carlton Fisk, Jermaine Dye, but I'm thinking Pierzynski has the edge.
Even in the gear. Okay. Let's do this. Let's take a break. You get them organized. We'll come back and we'll do the race in just a second.
Okay.
Brooks Boyer's here, and the White Sox tickets on sale at what time?
10 o'clock, 10 a.m., WhiteSox.com. We got racing.
Let's go out now to Michigan Avenue, Pioneer Court. There's a race started. Call it.
They just started. They went too fast. Who won?
Oh, it's over.
Burley. I think Burley won that one. I caught the end.
Oh, what is it?
They started. I told them to wait until you came back on.
Was it a first heat, possibly? Was it,
it was
a first heat?
Heat.
Was it a qualifier?
Tell them we need another race.
We need another race. Giants, line up.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm ordering giant foam characters around.
I know. And it was funny because we get down there, Carmen.
Yeah.
Carmen's going to be in this one.
Carmen was last. All right, Carmen's in this one. All right, line them up.
Line them up. All right, so we're doing the four retro racers. Ready?
All right, on account of go White Sox.
Okay, ready?
All right.
Wait, is Mark in this race?
I think so.
Good.
Okay, or as we call him, Dove Bar Mark.
Yeah, but Dove Bar Mark, if he pulls a hammy, we're not responsible.
No, of course
not.
No, you have a complete waiver.
Right. Okay, you guys ready?
Yeah, give him a go White Sox.
All right. Go White Sox.
Go! All right, and I can't see from my vantage point, but it looks like Pierzynski.
Our go-go White Sox actually didn't work.
Pierzynski, Konerko gaining on Pierzynski as they come into view. Who do you like, Joe? What happened if we lost them? Have we lost them?
We haven't lost them. Hawk is in the way, but they're...
Hawk and DJ...
Hawk and DJ currently blocking our view.
As is Southpaw.
Here they go, Steve.
Here they come. Here they come, Southpaw leading the way.
Here they go. Mark Carmen is in the lead. Oh, he's at the end.
Here they come. Oh, that's some good speed.
Oh, my God. It was so close.
Looks like it was Burley.
I think we got a Burley as a winner. Carms, come over to the window.
Burley gets it. Carmen.
I think he might need an oxygen tank.
Carmen came in dead last, Steve.
Carm hasn't had that amount of oxygen lost since he was selling Dove bars in the upper deck at the old Comiskey.
Gave him my best.
Was it Burley?
It was Burley, right, Southpaw?
Burley to win. Southpaw says yes.
Yeah.
All that video will be up at whitesox.com and also at WGNRadio.com. Well, Brooks, nothing but upside ahead.
No doubt. And you're going to hear all 162 plus some spring training games right here on WGN. And we couldn't be more proud to be partners with you guys.
And we will be out there with you. And we'll even take this show out and get you guys up early.
Individual tickets are on sale today starting at 10. Season packages are still available. Can't wait to get people out to the ballpark.
Great promotional nights. Is the calendar up for that?
The calendar is up at WhiteSox.com. A lot of the fireworks nights are on Wednesdays, we're dollar hot dogs. On Thursdays, there's free T-shirts. On Fridays, there's fireworks. On Saturdays, there's giveaways. And on Sundays, it's Family Sundays. They are back. So a lot of great ways to get out to the ballpark
and
all season long.
Great parking.
Easy park.
Fabulous store that is one of the biggest stores I've seen at any stadium ever for White Sox and MLB gear. And a great neighborhood atmosphere.
No doubt. Obviously, easy to get to. Parking, we talked about, $10 on Sunday. So a great way to get to the ballpark. And we'll have to bring them in. Our new food items are going to be announced in a little bit less than a month. So,
and Andrea is very excited about Greek night.
Yeah.
Yeah. And.
My
That was probably the lowest risk event they discussed when they discussed nights.
Oh, my God.
A Greek night in Chicago? Oh, how are we going to pull that off?
And what they do, too, is they have a tailgate outside. So you can, there's, like, lamb and gyros and everything. So Anna and I will be there again this year.
Oh, we can't. Mark, you doing all right? You look like you're a little tired.
I gave it a great effort here, Brooks. It was tough coming up short. I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. But it's a whole season to get back in shape here.
You're the one that has to live with that.
That's right. That's right.
Are you going to come out and give us like an inning of vending something? Just
I would love to.
Or are you going to come nap?
Well,
he's strong. He's strong in both areas.
Did you see the race?
We saw the race.
Yeah.
We were concerned about some sort of muscle.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have you do the post games, but on one special day, not to be announced to the public. We'll surprise them, and you will sell something in vending. Upper deck.
Great. Upper deck.
I'm in. All day.
So, Brooks, nice to see you.
Thanks, White guys. Thanks for having me. Go Sox.
Get your tickets. Go Sox. Back after this on CLTV and 720 WGN. Joe played a band called Trampled for Turtles. Turtles for Trampling. What is it called?
Trampled by Turtles.
Trampled by Turtles.
Turtles for Trampling.
Heroes in a half shell. Turtle power.
Jeez.
Yeah. Come on down the mountain. Come on.
Oh, Lisa, stop pining for your saxophone. I got you another instrument.
What is Jug?
Have yourself some vittles. I'll have some, too.
The girl that
Let's go
me.
Kill a squirrel. We'll make us some stew.
Lisa, never, ever stop in the middle of a hoedown.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All of us lonely.
9:14, we continue on CLTV at 720 WGN. This is show number 1099.
Ooh, wow. Oh, 1099. Wow. Get it?
Yeah. I'll be off for a few days next week. You guys are going to be hanging out with Pete.
Yep, Pete.
Justin Kaufman.
Uh-huh, and Dean Richards, yeah.
And I'm actually coming back a week from today.
A week? Oh, so you can't even take a whole week off.
No, I'm obviously too important
because you miss us so much.
Either that, right? Or I just decided that I screwed up the scheduling. So next Friday I'll be back. But anyway, have fun with those guys next week.
We will miss you dearly. We'll miss you.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
And my friend Mark. Oh, our friend Mark Doyle is here from Rags of Honor, amongst other places. And good morning to you.
Good morning.
Nice to see you, buddy.
You and all WGN listeners.
I wanted you to come in because there's a couple things going on, but not the least of which is, Mark, well, explain what Rags of Honor is.
Rags of Honor is a silkscreen and apparel company that I founded when I came back from Afghanistan to hire homeless and unemployed veterans.
For those of you who didn't know or forgot the story, Mark lived in a, what would you call the thing you lived in?
Well, they're shipping containers. They have a fancy word for them. They're called RLBs, relocatable buildings.
It's literally a shipping container,
like you'd see
in a shipyard.
Sure.
You know, the things they stack on ships.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark lived in one on...
After I lived in a tent.
After you lived in the tent. Yeah, that was the upgrade?
Weeks. Yeah, that was the upgrade.
And this is after he landed at the airport in...
Kabul.
In Kabul, and his ride wasn't there.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Now, here's what you don't want. You don't want to land in Kabul, be a tall American, and go... Anyone have my car?
And I'm guessing they don't have like the Uber app.
No Uber.
So he finds a way to the base without being killed. And I'm not being flip here. It's that dangerous in that particular area. And you live there for how long?
1 year.
And part of the deal was Mark's got another life where he gets hired as a forensic accountant to go out and try to find where bad guys have buried the money or good people have forgotten where they put it. And in this case, you're trying to track down the money that was stolen.
Yeah, it was exiting the battle space, being mostly along the supply routes, but from U.S. contracting dollars from people extorting.
Most people don't understand, and you educated me on a lot of this, but there's no central banking system in Afghanistan. So because of that, pallets of cash get flown in daily.
And the U.S. started it, and some of it was with good intentions, right? If they don't have a strong banking system, there are only 17 total banks in the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
And
tough to find an ATM.
Very hard to find an ATM, although they do a lot with their cell phones, for real.
Why they have the Hawala system, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The Hawala system. So people would bring in C-130s. You know, the U.S. would bring in C-130s full of cash to do civil reconstruction. But what would happen, shocking, is that somebody would bid the job for $5 million. This was a specific example. It's not classified. I'm not going to give you the name anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Bid it for $5 million. It's a USAID project. He takes $1 million, gives it to his cousin, takes $1 million, gives it to another cousin, takes it to another cousin for $1 million in the same village. gets it to the last guy for $1 million, builds a school.
Mm-hmm.
That was going on rampantly through the battle space,
right,
because there was no mechanism for subcontractors. So,
and the bookkeeping wasn't great.
Not so much. And it's legal to take cash out of the country. And it's legal because people do legitimate business there, like the Germans and the Japanese. And
well, this is a longer discussion. That's not why you're here today. But one of the reasons that the Afghan, and I fully understand the reason we went in, support the reason we went in, but at some point you got to realize what you're dealing with. And the reason the Soviet Union failed there, and the reason that it's very difficult for us to ultimately succeed, whatever that means, depending on your definition, is without a central banking system or a system of government taxation, you have no way to go forward and fund a democracy.
Yeah, when 86% of your GDP is donor GDP, it's hard to have a systemic way to run government.
Mm-hmm.
So the two things.
So it's run village by village.
It is run village by village. And you have governors, but their governors aren't. There's not a strong regional government, and there's not a strong central government. It's very decentralized.
So you get exposed to all of that, and you, even though you're well acquainted with vets, because we stayed in touch the whole time you were over there, you became increasingly frustrated with what you saw, in particular with the rank and file of the American military, not just with the amount they're paid, but with the overall lack of what they need given to them, in particular when they came back,
yeah,
which led to something I frankly, and I admit this, I didn't even know it was a problem, and it's a huge problem, and that's homeless vets.
Yeah. So imagine you're on your you graduate high school, you go in the military. You're an ID guy, an infantry guy in the Army. You end up in Afghanistan on 5 tours. You haven't had a chance to make much money, so you don't have much saved. You come back and you lose your job. You're already couch surfing because your family might be somewhere else and you're still where you were stationed.
Your family may be gone.
They might be gone. They might not have enough money to support you as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Your 2 paychecks away from being homeless. So one of the things that drove me crazy is to see how we were spending. And by the way, we spent $1 trillion so far in Afghanistan. From 2013 to present, about 300,000 are homeless for at least one night. 300,000
veterans are homeless. In the greatest country in the world, where the words military and homeless should never be, it shouldn't make sense to even put them in the same sentence.
And by tomorrow at this time, this is what I talked about at Del Frisco's, and my friend Ray Risley, the president of Del Frisco's,
we're going to meet Ray in just a second.
By tomorrow night, listeners need to understand this. Tonight, we're all going to go home and have a nice, warm night. 300,000 will not. And by tomorrow at this time, 22 will have taken their own lives.
The scourge of military suicide has gotten worse and worse over the years, and with very well-intentioned people in the VA system and others trying to put an end to this, we're a long way from perfect. And it's PTSD, it's addictions, it's coming home and not knowing what home is after protecting our home while you're over there.
Yeah.
It's outrageous. So one of the things that's an offshoot of you going broke running Rags of Honor, aside from really helping get, I don't know, 24, three dozen, how many people now?
We've hired 74 since we've opened our doors.
Okay, so 74 people, helping them get back on their feet and restart their lives,
yeah,
and therefore paying it forward and helping others. It's an expensive thing to do. So Mark's got this piece of equipment, which he didn't know how to operate. He doesn't know anything about this thing. It's shooting out colors and stuff. He doesn't know what it does.
It is such a cool machine.
It makes shirts. Okay, turn it on. Get out of the way. Yeah. Oh, wow, we got paint on the wall.
It's cool.
And this is not a cheap machine.
Well, they're about $45,000 plus the dryer's another $10,000.
Right.
Right.
Look at you with your fancy tuck.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you started a GoFundMe page recently because the deal is if you can own the equipment, then you're going to be able to help more veterans than ever.
Yeah.
So tell me about the GoFundMe page.
So the GoFundMe page was an idea, having never done it before. As you know, I've just tried to use my own money to get us this far.
Great call, by the way.
yeah, right? Oh, my God.
Solid business
model. My wife is a lucky lady.
I got a really big heart and credit cards. How could this go badly?
No, no. And you know the old saying, you can't take it with you. Well, I'm making sure that we have nothing to take with us. Are you listening, Kip? Nothing to take with us.
Oh, Kip's on the line. Hold on.
Yeah.
Mark who?
We have 2 pieces of machinery left that if we can pay that off, we'll now have an asset. And have one less monthly payment, and right. allows me to hire at least one more. And so somebody said, start a GoFundMe page. I did a video saying, this is where I am. This is what we do. If you want to just help us get out of debt and help us keep hiring more veterans, anything you can do is helpful.
And I can tell you right now, Mark did not get into this to make money, and I can tell you right now, he ain't making any money. He's spending money, but all the money, yeah. including every dollar you save through this GoFundMe thing, gives you an opportunity to help another vet and another yep. vet after that.
It rolls right
so this is you. More than just buying. And by the way, this is great material. These shirts are great quality. The hats are great quality. Mm-hmm. Mark's doing some Make America Vote Again hats for us.
It'll be coming. Oh, excellent. That'll be great.
But I just want people to understand how much they help, and this is another opportunity for you to help in a really big way. So it's GoFundMe. What do they search?
GoFundMe.com and just search Rags of Honor.
Okay.
And to all the listeners, I will tell you, I am loathe to ever ask for any help. But
no, you suck at asking for help. You give help, but you don't ask for help. Well.
But this one's not for me, right?
So, yeah. So RagsOfHonor.
Yes,
dot.
I do make $1 million a year at Rags of
yeah,
Honor.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. RagsOfHonor.
US.
And order something.
Yeah, order.
Yeah.
Get some of these.
Because they have cool stuff.
It's absolutely cool.
And high quality, very cool stuff.
All made in America, designed and printed by veterans.
Yeah. Right. And every veteran that gets helped, without fail, every veteran that's been helped does something to help another vet.
Yep.
So it's exponential. All right, I want to meet our friend from Del Frisco as we come back and talk about the coffee biz.
Great.
In a moment on 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
My friend Mark Doyle's here. His wife, Kip, is far too attractive and talented for him, but he knows that, so he's got that going for him.
Yeah.
And one day she said, well, what if we did this? And this turned into a coffee company called what?
Veteran Roasters Cup of Joe.
And you can get this online.
Yep. VeteranRoasters.com.
And Veteran Roasters, similar concept to Rags of Honor.
Sister company.
Yeah, but you want to put vets to work.
Mm-hmm.
And don't you have a vet that's your master brewer? Is that the right term?
On the beer side, we do. Our partner in the West Loop is a guy named Joshua from Passion House, and just opened arms, took us in. We've hired four veterans. In fact, tell the story of the day that we announced we were going to be doing the Del Frisco's Coffee. A young Navy kid who just lost his job, who has two kids, who couldn't afford to be homeless, walked in off the street and said, I heard you on WGN.
Right.
Is there any way you could hire me? And so, like I always do.
Yeah, your interview process is intense.
About 30 seconds long. You need a job? Sure, you're hired.
Yeah.
And he was.
Mark does a different thing in the cliche business. He says, do you have an idea what I'll be doing in 5 years? He doesn't say, what are you be doing?
Right.
Now, Del Frisco's, because of the success of Del Frisco's, they get asked to do stuff all the time. They can partner with anybody they want. So please introduce our new friend here.
My friend to my left here is Ray Risley. Ray is the president of Del Frisco Steakhouse. For those of you who don't know them, it is.
With 13 locations. And did you tell me four more this year?
Yes, sir. We're opening four.
Don't start that, sir, stuff. You know I'm a fan, but I wasn't kidding when I said that. You get asked to do stuff all the time. You could partner with anybody. What struck you about what Mark is doing?
Kip,
obviously.
We are a lot like you, that we didn't know the backstory of, and we didn't know the seriousness of the homeless veterans and the problem that our country is seeing right now. And so it's such a compelling story. Luckily for us, Kip and my CEO, Norman, have known each other for years and years. And then they started talking about it. And Mark started talking to Norman and told him the story. And it was a pretty easy decision to make at that point. You know, we can help a homeless vet.
But it does say something about the quality of the product, though, because you have a standard at Del Frisco.
Absolutely,
where you're not going to take a river water in. You want it to be quality coffee.
The coffee was actually an upgrade for what we were serving before, and it was not. I don't want to mention the name, but it wasn't. It was a really good coffee, but we tasted Cup of Joe and we were blown away by it, and the entire story just fit. And again, we're only 13 restaurants, but at the same time, we're doing a little something to try to help. And then
it's a big deal.
Yeah. I think we can all do just a little bit to try to help. And if we all did a little bit, then I think we'd be a lot better off.
Can I just say that he's very humble. Not only did they decide to take us on, mm-hmm. they had an existing contract. They bought out of the contract. And
so they took on an extra expense.
And ours is a premium coffee.
Oh, it's fantastic.
So they're paying more for our coffee, got out of an existing contract, so they could make a difference for Cup of Joe. And they said, you know what? By the way, in our whole restaurant chain, we have 65.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have 65 by next year. we want to hire at least one, if not more than one, homeless or unemployed veteran at every location. Can you help us?
How about that?
So if you're looking for a place to eat steak, not a joke,
right,
go to Del Frisco's at 5880 Oak Street, East Oak Street, because they care what happens.
Exactly. Quality people are where you ought to be spending your money.
Yeah.
And we're here to testify to that.
We are. Can I get an amen?
And your facility is amazing, and your workers, the vets, they take such pride. This is, and I'm not just saying this, you know, Mark, it's the best cup of coffee I've ever had. It's such a good, strong cup.
It's phenomenal. No question.
Right?
Yeah. And it goes nice with cheesesteak egg rolls.
Yes.
It's
you
great
love
with
those,
the cheesesteak.
Steve.
And butter cake. And, yeah, and lobster mac and cheese.
Lobster mac and cheese, the crab cakes. Oh, no, the steaks aren't bad, too. I actually, you know, I don't drink, but actually the chef at Del Frisco's cut me off. He goes, hey, you've had enough.
Enough, right?
Thank you.
Thank you.
You guys are doing at Del Frisco's is a big deal, and it's highly appreciated. All right, GoFundMe page one more time.
GoFundMe.com, type in Rags of Honor, and give me every dime you can afford to give me. I don't know. Is that too shameless to plug? I don't know.
That's the best pitch you've ever made.
And if you have to borrow money to do it, I'm fine with that.
Your kids can go to college. You'll get that money later.
Honey, did you hear that? I'm really trying to get us some money.
That's tremendous.
By the way, if anybody who wants to make a difference this Sunday and freeze, well, you won't freeze.
Oh, is the overnight?
No, we did that last week. We're plunging. Yeah, we are plunging.
I know. They're plunging.
You can join the Caffeinated Dragons.
Is that what it is?
Yes, the Caffeinated Dragons will be plunging.
Jumping in. What do we know the water temp to be? What's the prediction?
Oh, last year was 32.
Yeah.
Which was
warm. It's
going to
be a lot warmer this year.
A little warmer. 50 and sunny. Walk in the park.
You'll be fine.
Yeah. Great to see you.
Thank you so
RagsOfHonor.us and Cup of Joe.
VeteranRoasters.com. And you can find us at Pete's Markets, too. Go to Pete's Markets.
And what's the website for Del Frisco's?
It's just DelFrisco's.com.
There you go.
Nice.
A fine, fine thing by all hands involved. Thanks.
Thank you all. Thanks, WGN.
It's 9:33. You're going to come back with the headlines. We need a break, and we'll come back in a second on 720 WGN.
Here's a swing and a high fly ball to left. This is hit well. To the track goes Kemp. At the wall, a 380. Gone. A three-run homer for Tim Anderson. 3-1 White Sox.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It's kind of historic. First home run is the White Sox flagship station there.
You huge.
Put a ribbon on that one. Rick Hahn, the boss, the general manager. One of the reasons I like Rick so much is not just because he's the boss, but also because he's one of the few people in the White Sox organization who'll be willing to get up and talk to me before 10 o'clock as the season goes on. So, Rick, you drew the short straw.
Oh, it's my pleasure. My pleasure. There was a line 10 deep looking for that short straw. I got lucky.
How are you, man?
Doing well. How about you? Yep.
Doing fine. You in Arizona?
Yeah. Enjoying what is now about the third week of Groundhog's Day out here as we get a little deeper into games that don't quite matter in the standings, but still help build a little bit of excitement for opening day a few weeks from now.
We mentioned earlier when Brooks was in here, White Sox tickets on sale today, whitesox.com for all of that, including video of giant foam-headed racers running up and down Michigan Avenue causing traffic jams. So sorry you weren't here for it. Adam Hogue and Mark Carmen are here, as you know. They're going to do the post game, and I'll let them jump in a second. But one of the interesting things I've seen, Rick, in these first few games is a lot of offense.
A lot of offense, and you do see some of that in Arizona. The ball does fly a little bit more down here than it does during the regular season. But you've also seen some good at-bats that have probably led to a little bit more productive offense. Guys are seemingly in mid-season form in terms of how they're taking their ABs and working deep counts, and Ricky and Todd Steverson, our hitting coach, are emphasizing getting a good ball to hit and staying in the zone, and so far the guys have been translating that into success.
Rick, what do you want to see from Michael Kopech to make his way up? Because I think a lot of White Sox fans are chomping at the bit to see him at Guaranteed Rate Field.
Yeah, you know, it's not too dissimilar from where we were a year ago on guys like Moncada and Lopez and to an extent Giolito, in that there's this great deal of excitement and we know that these guys are a big part of our future, but we don't want to take any shortcuts in their development so that when they do get here, they're in a position to not just survive but succeed and continue to grow. In Michael's case, we got to keep in mind he's 21 years old. He's got like 15 innings above Double A. Last year was the first year of his pro career. career that he took the ball every fifth day throughout the entire season. So we want to see him continue to take the ball on regular rest, continue to have strong outings, and if there's one area that he probably needs a little bit more development at the minor league level, it's on the use of his changeup. You know, obviously everyone knows he's got a plus-plus fastball, plus slider, and when you have that kind of dominant stuff, it might be a little bit easier to get A-ball and double-A hitters out just on those two pitches alone. But Michael has heard from us, and he knows himself, that in order to have the type of success he's capable of having in Chicago, he's going to have to mix in that changeup more to keep big league hitters off balance.
Rick, I talked to you 10 days ago on Sports Central. I asked you what's the most important part of spring training or most important thing that you need the early part of spring training. You said stay healthy. The baseball gods haven't exactly listened.
That's right. I might have. Hopefully, I didn't tempt fate, or at the very least, we've made an adequate sacrifice to the baseball gods with Jake Berger's Achilles and Mike Rodolfo's UCL. Two unfortunate injuries. Mike's, knock on wood, seems to be slightly less serious than originally anticipated, and at the very least, he's going to continue his development at the plate through the DH spot at Winston-Salem for at least the first half of the year. And with Jake, unfortunately, the Achilles came out of nowhere, as those tend to do, and is going to cost him a season. But he's a fantastic kid and a fantastic worker, and still have every degree of confidence, high degree of confidence, he's going to be an impact big leaguer when his time ultimately does come.
And any update on Eloy, too, Rick, and Luis Robert as well, as far as the health goes?
Luis is fine. Luis, bang, playing at second, got a little knock in the head, was cleared of all potential concussion issues, so that's a big positive, and wanted to stay in the game, but obviously in spring training games, we're not going to force the issue at all, and Ricky wisely pulled him, but he's fully available this afternoon should we decide to go to him. Eloy's day-to-day, he's got a knee barking at him a little bit, he's receiving treatment and slowly ramping back up. Again, if it were the regular season, it'd probably be a little bit of a different treatment protocol, but given that we're still several weeks away from opening day, there's no need to rush it.
You know, the White Sox have a strong Cuban tradition on this team, and with Robert and Moncada and who am I forgetting? The big
Abreu.
Dog. Yeah, Abreu. We have exciting news, Rick, which you're going to be happy to hear. We can get any of those guys on the air, regardless of their command of English, because the lovely and talented Lourdes Duarte from WGN-TV has volunteered to be our translator.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm sure the guys will be thrilled to hear that, and look forward to being on with you.
They'll be thrilled if they can meet Lourdes. I'm sure they're talking to me part, maybe not so much.
I don't want to divide up where their excitement lay, but yeah, that might have something to do with it.
Opening day, less than a month away. You getting a little bit of a tingle yet?
We are, and it's an interesting camp because we are obviously still in the process of this rebuild here, and you get that excitement as you walk around even our backfields and seeing some of the minor league guys as they continue to blossom, and you can envision what this thing's going to look like over the coming years. At the same time, as you guys have seen in the games you've been able to catch so far, Ricky and his staff really has these guys fighting every out and playing a brand of White Sox baseball that's fun to watch. So there's excitement about the present and the future right now.
Rick, Steve and I were having a little bit of a discussion, potential argument yesterday. I've had the same argument with Adam about players playing hard, and how do you balance a guy who hits a ground ball to second, is going 100 miles an hour to first, maybe blows out a hamstring, versus protecting himself for the entire season or running into a wall, putting himself in danger, but also giving a fair effort. Like, what do you tell your players around that type of
stuff? Before you answer, Rick.
Yes.
I don't think it's old school to say you want your guys, from the stars to the guys trying to make the club, to work hard for all 162, not for chosen games when you could actually miss the playoffs by a game, or at the bare minimum, because fans are paying full price to come out, they ought to get a good show. Adam?
I agree. Carmen and I have fought over this issue before.
Stay healthy, Rick.
You
That's
do?
What I'm saying.
No.
All right, Rick, now clear this up for all of us.
Health is important, but I do think I'm going to have to side with Steve and Adam on this one. We wanted to indoctrinate a culture at the big league level throughout the minor league system, and as part of what Ricky was charged with when we brought him in as manager. And that culture is about playing the game hard, playing 27 outs, the entire outing in battle for 162, not just because we want to get the most out of the players and the effort out of our players on a nightly basis, but because that could be the difference at some point between going deep in the postseason, right, and missing out on the opportunity. Now, I don't think there, you have necessarily an issue with a guy busting his tail down the line is going to increase his risk of injury, in part because part of this culture and part of the communication that Ricky and his coaches have with these guys on a daily basis is Ricky knows which guys might be nursing a little something here or there, and they know that if they don't necessarily look like they're busting it down the line, we know it's because of a certain ailment they right. might have. So all we're looking for them is 100% of their effort they're capable of giving on a different day. We're not looking for them to push past it. We're obviously not looking for guys to slam into the outfield wall on a ball that's eight rows deep just for the sake of looking good. We're looking for 100% of the smart effort that they can give on a given day, and I think you've seen that in terms of the brand of baseball that's been on the South Side here for the last year plus.
Going to be fun. We're your White Sox flagship, 162, going to hear them right here, and still got a bunch of preseason games to come as well. Rick, thanks. I look forward to continuing this.
Sounds good. As do I, guys. Thanks for having me.
WhiteSox.com for tickets on sale today. Adam Hoge and Mark Carmen will handle the post game, and I know you guys are looking forward to it.
I can't wait for the season to start.
Mostly Adam Hoge's father
yes.
is the most excited guy in this entire equation.
I feel a huge burden to do a good post game show host just for Richard Hoge, honestly.
You sure you don't want to take the post game off?
No, I don't want to do that.
I don't want you to get injured doing the post game.
But did you hear what he said there at the end? He really actually did come around to my viewpoint.
Yeah, sure he did.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Got a new girl. Yesterday, Vladimir Putin, showed a video, an animation of nuclear missiles breaking off and heading towards Florida. Mm-hmm. I'm used to an America where the president would comment on that.
Right.
What we have now is a tweet from Donald Trump this morning that says nothing about Russia, but says the following. Alec Baldwin, whose dying mediocre career was saved by his terrible impersonation of me on SNL, now says playing me was agony. Alec, it was agony for those who were forced to watch. Bring back Daryl Hammond, funnier and a far greater talent. Oh, well, then I feel better.
Oh, geez.
Thank you, Mr. President, for protecting the nation.
Happy Friday. Yes.
High five me, Prez. Woo, that was a funny one. My God.
Not a word about Vladimir Putin pretending to blow up Florida, but we got SNL and Alec Baldwin covered. Huh? Mm. There you go. 9:59. Bill's here. I thought you did a nice job in the White Sox foam outfit this morning.
Well, thank you, Steve. That's nice of you.
Were you AJ Pierzynski?
I was Paul Konerko.
Oh,
but that
interesting
shows,
choice.
Well, it shows my acting
your
range.
Your chops.
Yeah, thank you.
Your versatility.
Well, thank you, Andrea. That's very kind of you.
Bill
thank
explained
you.
To me those weren't really the players. That wasn't Joe Creedy.
No, it's just guys.
I had a moment
guys
with him.
Inside. Yeah, it's just guys
he
dressed
cute.
Up like them.
Oh.
Carmen got yelled at by a giant foam head.
You did?
Creedy went at me. Did not like my effort out there.
Oh. Yeah. And what we can say now that Carmen was in the race, he took a dive. I don't know if there was mafia money involved with him, but he took a dive.
Can I tell you the funniest moment that I wasn't supposed to see, but I did see it anyway? The people from our promotions department were in the green room with the people dressed up, like, and they were explaining who Adam Hoge was, and you just saw a bunch of giant bobbing heads, like, all acknowledging. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh. Adam Hoge, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Adam Hoge.
Nodding, yeah. It's funny to watch that.
I'm taking a few days off. I'll see you guys next Friday. What are you guys doing today?
Condoleezza Rice and Larry Storch.
Oh sweet.
I always,
yeah.
get, the yeah. I always get the two of them confused.
Cool. Making a debate.
Which one's
debate.
On the left?
I don't want to say. You got to tune in,
right.
Steve. You got to tune in.
Yep. Have fun and enjoy your 4 days off from me. See you in a week.